Well, good morning and welcome. We're here to praise God this morning, this beautiful morning with the sun shining in the windows. We have this great freedom that many around the world do not have to gather freely and worship God. Ephesians 3, Paul tells us that we have a freedom to approach God. And we can do it confidently because of our faith through Jesus. This morning, think about this as we're worshiping, that we can freely come before God in faith, and He hears us, and He's there with us, and He cares about us. So praise God this morning for everything that He has done for us, who He is, and the freedoms that He has given us. And that it doesn't matter what's going on in the world around us. Just come and praise God this morning. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank You for the freedom to worship You as the body of Christ. Lord, I lift up my brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted around the world and can't gather freely. Give them strength and provision as they need it. Thank You for giving every believer access to You through Your Holy Spirit. Just fill us to full and overflowing with Your Spirit, and I just pray that we would have a fresh encounter with You this morning, so that we can reach the world around us. Lord, receive our worship. Help us to honor You with our lives each day. In Jesus' name, amen.
During this first song, we're going to be taking the offering, and there's my coins count for the children. Sundays only come around once a week. And it's my hope for each one of you that you can encounter God during the week, but it's especially my hope that as we gather together, we can really feel God's presence. So I just want to invite you all to stand and join us in worship.
Your name, Jesus. Shall we pray? It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to his name, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Father, we are your witnesses that you are God. Beside you, there is no other. You have given great grace, health, strength, so that we can labor with our hands and have the blessing of sharing and giving in this offering. The overflow from this month's offering will be used for community outreach and youth ministries. So we ask for your Holy Spirit's anointing on those who labor in these ministries. And may they bear much fruit. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
just want to echo that song and the scripture that it comes from, that you have been our dwelling place and everlasting God, created all things. Nothing is in our control. In fact, you give us a free choice, but we really didn't. We chose to choose you, but first you chose us. And that's the amazing thing, that while we were still sinners, you sent your son to die, that we could be redeemed. Just pray that we could turn to you when the sun comes up and we start our day in the morning. And as the day goes on and when we go down at night, that the love you exhibit to us would flow into us and satisfy us, and that it would flow out to others and have a reaching effect. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Well, good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? Did you have a good week? Did you do anything fun?
Yes.
What? They said yes, so what did you guys do that was fun this past week?
Outside.
You played outside. All right, we got one answer. That's good. That's great. Well, this morning, we are going to talk about sea turtles. Did you know a sea turtle can live anywhere from 50 to 100 years or more?
Yes.
That's pretty old, right? Did you know you can tell turtles apart by the markings on them? They're, all those little scales are individual, and you can tell a turtle from another turtle just by the scales on there. Turtles, they like to go, well, I don't know if they like it or not, but they go on the shore, they dig a hole, and they lay eggs. And then they cover the eggs with sand, and then they go back into the ocean. So if the sand is a couple degrees warmer than a certain number, it's all girl turtles. If it's a little cooler than that certain number, it's all boy turtles. Turtles can migrate for thousands of miles from their feeding grounds to the beaches where they were hatched, because they always come back to those beaches. Again, one turtle was tracked traveling 12,000 miles in its migration. A mother sea turtle lays the eggs and then she swims off, leaving the eggs and the baby turtles to fend for themselves. They don't take care of them like people take care of infants. But I'm glad that God does not leave us alone like the mother sea turtle does with the babies. He walks alongside of us, and we can see that in the Bible. When the children of Israel were in the desert, God provided manna for them and quail for them to eat. He took care of them. He brought water from the rock, and their clothing didn't wear out. You guys wear out clothing, right? Make holes in them and just wear stuff out, right? Yeah. Well, their clothing didn't wear out. I'm sure their parents liked that very much. They had a pillar of cloud that traveled in front of them by day. You think, why would God put a pillar of cloud in front of them? Well, the desert's hot, right? The cloud would block out some of the heat from the sun. Or he would give them a pillar of fire at night. The desert gets really cold at night. It would provide light. It would provide warmth for his people. God was taking care of them. And he does the same for us. He takes care of us. When we ask Jesus into our hearts, he gives us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. He doesn't leave us alone or abandon us like the mother sea turtle does with her eggs. God is with us, even though we can't feel it all the time. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God is there, taking care of us, watching over us, just like a shepherd takes care of its sheep, carrying us when we need to be carried. So I'd like to pray for you guys, and then you can have a snack and head back to your seats. So should we pray? Heavenly Father, put a hedge of protection around these children. Draw each one to you. Pour a blessing on them. I pray that each one would come to know you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, you guys can have a snack and head back to your seats. So, as they're taking care of that, I'd like to invite Lauren to come forward and share about her mission trip that she is going to be going on.
Good morning. I wanted to share a little bit about my upcoming mission trip. April 19th to May 3rd, I'm going to be going to Kenya with a team from Petra Church and also a team from a church in Alabama and another church that I don't remember what state they're from. But it's going to be a group of about 20 of us, and again, starting April 19th for 2 weeks. We're going with Preparing the Way Ministries in Kenya, and the focus is on youth ministry. So they're having the second annual youth conference in a remote area in Kenya, and that's what we're going to be helping with. So that might involve worship, testimonies, preaching, prayer and altar ministry, and we'll have small groups. So we'll split up. There's going to be over 1,000 Kenyan youth, so two of us will be leading a small group of about 80, and pray that the translators would help us out there. But so just to give you some background with why I decided to do this, the last few months have been difficult in ministry, and I believe that the Lord has called me to be a missionary, and all of us really to be missionaries wherever we are. But for me specifically right now, I believe that's here in my hometown, and I'm doing that through the before and after school program and free in Reading. But they've both been, they've had some challenges these last few months, and it's been very draining. So part of what led to this decision was just a need for refreshment and renewed vision of what the Lord has called me to do. So many of you know the Hummel family, Keith and Ellen Hummel. They attended church here for a while and then were missionaries in Tanzania. And Ellen and Keith are friends with the leaders of the team from Petra. So that's where the connection came from, and Ellen shared with me the opportunity, and when she shared it, I was like, I don't know, it sounds like a great opportunity. I would love to go to Africa. I'd love to meet some hippos, but I wasn't sure if it was something that I would do just because I want to or because the Lord is actually leading me to do it. So it was a difficult decision to make, and I didn't feel like, I mean, in praying and thinking about it, I didn't feel like I had a clear answer from God. I was, you know, trying to hear his voice, but it doesn't always come through clearly for us. So sometimes we just need to make decisions, and that's what I did. I made the decision that I'm going to go, and figured if I feel peace about it, great. If not, I can back out. And I did feel peace about it, and it was just a reminder that, you know, often we look for a sign or try to hear exactly what God is saying, but he has equipped us. His Holy Spirit is inside of us, and we can make decisions through his strength. So that's a little bit of the backstory why I'm going, and I'm really looking forward to the refreshment and, again, that renewed vision. Not that it's going to be a vacation in any way, but there's something about being overseas, seeing the church overseas and the fire that they have, the faith that they have. It's nothing quite like I've ever seen here in the States. Not that I don't appreciate the church here in the States. I'm so thankful for this congregation and how you've encouraged me and equipped me really to go out and preach the good news. So if you have any more questions, you can feel free to come talk to me. Just a few prayer requests. I appreciate your prayers leading up to the trip and also while I'm there and when I come back. Leading up to it, I'd ask that you pray that all the details would come together and, that there wouldn't be any roadblocks in traveling and getting there, and that there wouldn't be roadblocks in our ministry. I'd also appreciate prayers for jet lag. It has always affected me more than everyone else, so pray that I would have the energy that I need to do the Lord's will, and ultimately that God's kingdom would come and that his will would be done in Kenya and among our team as it is in heaven. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing, Lauren. We will have a prayer of commissioning in April for Lauren. So keep her and her team in your prayers as they are making preparations for this trip. Last week, I attended a district pastor's meeting that we have once a month, and Brian Martin from Weaverland shared about his trip from Cuba. He showed us a bunch of pictures of all the old cars they have down there. But the thing that stuck with me was the physical needs of the people and the LMC pastors that are there in the churches and all the things that they are facing. So I'd like to take a moment and pray for them that they would receive what they need. And all those around this world who are in dire need as well, and the wars and conflicts that are going on. So will you join me in prayer for these things this morning? Heavenly Father, make a way for the lost and hurting people in Cuba. Provide for their physical needs and their spiritual needs. And all those around the world, there's many brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted, who are starving and in dire need. Lord, provide food, provide clothing and finances and your sustaining power and strength and grace and mercy. Just pour that out on them. Lord, I pray that you would grow your church like a wildfire spreading across the land. I pray that it would grow by leaps and bounds. Lord, there's wars going on in the Ukraine and Israel. There's many, many people dying. We know that your word says that there's going to be wars and rumors of war and turmoil and struggle because of this fallen world we live in. Lord, bring an end to these conflicts, these wars, and all this death and destruction. Lord, draw these nations to you in repentance and redemption, so they can receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I just pray that even during these conflicts and struggles, your gospel would spread and many would come to acknowledge you as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining me in prayer. It's important for the body of Christ to lift up our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world as they are struggling and hurting. Last Sunday, this is our last Sunday that we're going to be going through our spiritual gifts. Next Sunday, we're going to have a wrap-up where people are going to be sharing what some of their gifts are, how they came to find out what those gifts are, and how they use them. This morning, we're going to look at the gifts of teaching, knowledge, and wisdom. So how many of you remember a great teacher that you have had in the past, a teacher that was just really excellent? How many of you remember a bad teacher that you had, one that just had no clue of what they were doing? What's the difference between a great teacher and a bad teacher? Because a great teacher didn't become a great teacher overnight. It took work, it took effort, it took a willingness to adjust the things that they were doing and the work that they were expecting their students to do. See, if your students are all failing your class that you're teaching, it's probably not your students, it's probably the methods and the ways that you're teaching people. So we can understand what good teaching is and what bad teaching is because of our years in school. But what is the spiritual gift of teaching? And how does that differ from a regular teacher? I mean, people can have both gifts. They can be a regular teacher and have the spiritual gift of teaching and teach in the church as well. But a regular teacher and a teacher who's bringing God's word has the desire for the people to see and understand what God is revealing to them. With the spiritual gift of teaching, they can present truths from the Bible, that's God's word, clearly, understandably, and in a way that is deeper than just giving out information in facts and figures. The teacher gives the message that the Holy Spirit gave to them for the church. Then the church takes that and they apply it. They apply that knowledge, that understanding, that teaching to their lives. It's more than just one person giving out information and facts and knowledge. Both apply when you have a teacher that is gifted with the spiritual gift of teaching. It is the application of what they're giving to you because the Holy Spirit is working through them. Is it okay if you have a teacher teaching Sunday school that does not have the spiritual gift of teaching? Yes, they're digging into God's word and they're giving out God's word. But it's even better when you have someone that is gifted in that way, giving God's word. You can have knowledge, but if you don't apply it, part of that is being wasted. If you look for all this application, but you don't really have the knowledge, that's not good either. You got to have both. You got to have knowledge and application. People with the gift of teaching, they dig into God's word. They mine it for those hidden gems that God reveals as they spend time in preparation and study. As they read scripture, it just comes alive. God reveals to them what he wants to say. And he reveals it so they can speak it in an understandable, applicable way. They have an organization and an accuracy. That's kind of their focus. Because they don't want any part of God's word to be twisted and changed and taken out of context. So there's this desire to have God's word be authentic. One danger that can be attached to this gift is perfectionism. You spend so much time on one tiny little detail that it actually becomes unhealthy. You can become argumentative and critical of other people who have different views than you do. How many of you have heard this statement? Those who can do, those who can't teach. This implies that the people who are teaching weren't good enough to do, so they stepped into teaching. Well, that's a misrepresentation of what a teacher is. It's a put down to teachers. I think this is stated much better. Those who know do, but those who understand teach. This gives a different depth, a different meaning to understanding. You go from knowledge to really understanding, and when you understand, you can really teach God's word and God's message. And it's in that understanding that this ability comes out, and the Holy Spirit is really working through the teacher. These gifts need to be grown and used and nurtured, and you have to spend time in God's Word. Ezra is an example of this. Ezra 7, 8 to 10. Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month during the seventh year of the king. He began the journey from Babylon on the first day of the first month and arrived in Jerusalem on the first day of the fifth month. Since the gracious hand of his God was on him, now Ezra had determined in his heart to study the law of the Lord, obey it, and teach its statutes and ordinances in Israel. He determined in his heart to study God's word and to teach it. See, that Holy Spirit puts that desire in you when you have the gift of teaching. You want God's word to be shared, to be taught, to be spoken. The gift of knowing or knowledge. This gift is one of the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes something known that cannot be found out any other way except from God. Jesus gives us an example of this with his encounter with the woman at the well. Jesus is traveling from Judea to Galilee, and he travels through Samaria to get there. He stops at a well to rest, and the disciples go into town to buy food. And this is where we're going to pick up the account in John 4, 15 to 20. It's kind of mid-conversation. John 4, 15 to 20. And the woman and Jesus already started their conversation. "Sir," the woman said to him, "give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and come here to draw water." "Go call your husband," he told her, "and come back here." "I don't have a husband," she answered. "You have correctly said, 'I don't have a husband,'" Jesus said, "for you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you said is true." "Sir," the woman replied, "I see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." So they're having this conversation. And Jesus revealed information that came from the Holy Spirit. He wasn't in town for days. He didn't hear rumors about this woman. He walked up to a well. He sat down. The disciples walked into town. And here comes the woman to draw water. The Holy Spirit revealed that this woman had multiple husbands. In Acts 5, Peter was informed of the situation that was taking place in the hearts of Ananias and Sapphira. The Holy Spirit revealed that they were being dishonest and that Satan filled their heart. Peter used the gift of discernment for that. But then right after that gift of discernment, we can see the gift of knowledge at work, because Peter revealed something that no one knew. Ananias and Sapphira withheld money and claimed it was the total amount. See, when you have the gift of knowledge, God will reveal things to you that people have not shared with others. It might be a sin in their life, because God wants to bring conviction and repentance to them and healing to have them come back to Him. God may reveal things for their strengthening of their faith, revealing answers to questions that they're having about God. It might be a hurt from their past, something that they never speak of, maybe an assault or an abuse that took place years ago. But once this is revealed, God will use that to start the healing process, relieving them of this burden that they're carrying, that they've dealt with for many years. This gift can be used with other gifts like discernment and healing and faith and wisdom. It can be part of that. In Ezekiel 13, the gift of knowledge is demonstrated. Ezekiel 13, 1-2, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are prophesying. Say to them, say to those who prophesy out of their own imagination, hear the word of the Lord. God revealed that the prophets in Israel were falsely prophesying out of their own imagination, their own desires, and it was not from God. God made known what was being said was false." Jesus demonstrated this gift many times when it says he knew their thoughts, Matthew 9:4 and Matthew 12:25. Jesus revealed what the scribes and Pharisees were thinking, and that was through the Holy Spirit. John Byler wrote that the gift of wisdom is also closely related to knowledge. It is an application of the truth that is revealed in real life situations. So knowledge is the information, and wisdom is the application of that wisdom, putting that information into action. We're going to look at Matthew 22:15-22. "Now the Pharisees went and plotted how to trap him by what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know you are truthful and teach truthfully the way of God. You don't care what anyone thinks, nor do you show partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Perceiving their malicious intent, Jesus said, why are you testing me, hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax. And they brought him a denarii, whose image and inscription is this, he asked them. Caesar's, they said to him. Then he said to them, give then to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away." Jesus used these two gifts together. The knowledge received by the Holy Spirit that they were testing him, and then the wisdom part in his answer to that test. He perceived that they had this malicious intent, that they were testing him. But then he also knows how to answer what their test was. And they were amazed at what he said. In Acts chapter 15, some issues arose in Antioch. There was some unauthorized teacher giving extra requirements for the people to follow. You have one side saying one thing, and you have the other saying something different. So the leaders had to provide directions to the church so these new believers would know what to do. So the Jerusalem Council gives guidance and sent the results back to Antioch. The verse is verse 28 in Acts chapter 15. "For it was the Holy Spirit's decision and ours not to place further burdens on you beyond these requirements." They used both of these gifts, wisdom and knowledge. They relied on the Holy Spirit to show them what to do, and then they took steps and put that knowledge into action in the form of wisdom. So they knew how to proceed and give instructions so that the people would not be overburdened. When we face real life situations and we have the gift of wisdom, the Holy Spirit will give us directions on how to answer questions or criticisms or tests. We'll be able to put things into action. We'll know what to do. Listen to Luke 12:11-12. Whenever they bring you before synagogues and rulers and authorities, don't worry about how you should defend yourselves or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour what must be said. That is the gift of wisdom, to know what to say, to answer, in this case, accusations and questions that would be asked. The Holy Spirit gives you the words to speak when you need it to take action. The Holy Spirit will give you answers in that moment when they're needed. Not before, unfortunately. I mean, I'd like to have answers a long time ahead, but it's in that moment is when God will reveal answers and actions that you need to take. So as we bring this look at the spiritual gifts to a close, has God revealed new giftings to you? Has He shown you that you have a gift that you have been using for years and you didn't know it? Is God affirming what He's already doing in you and through you? Everything we do is to build up the body of Christ and bring honor and glory to God. So use your gifts that God has given you to build up the body of Christ, to follow God and His will. Next Sunday will be a life celebration Sunday, and people will be sharing their gifts, sharing about their gifts. The leadership team will be on our annual retreat. So we plan to join you via live stream and worship with you on Sunday. They're going to be sharing how they found out what their gifts were, how they use their gifts, and all this builds up the body of Christ. So I do have an announcement for you. On your nomination form, there is a QR code. So if you've been asking for a way to electronically fill this out, you now have it. Just pull out your smartphone, put it on the camera setting, hold it up to the QR code, and when the link pops up, just click on it. You'll have to fill out your name and email address, and then you can fill out all the answers to these questions. And then when you hit submit, you will receive a notification that it was submitted. So if you don't receive that and you're having issues, please see me or Bob or Debbie, and we'd be willing to help you walk through that. So you now have a way to do your ballots electronically. Lenten lunches are continuing, and I'm bringing the message this Thursday, and Easter is coming up, and we are going to do the same thing as we did at Christmas time with the time of food and fellowship, then Sunday school, and then the regular service. So if you would like to volunteer to help in that, please see me. We'd be glad to have you help serve that food, and more information will be that in the bulletin on that in the next couple weeks. So will you join me in prayer? And after we pray, the worship team is going to lead in a closing song, and they're going to take care of the closing of the service. Teresa and I are going to walk to the back, and we will greet you then after the service from the back. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you have given us so much, much more than we could ever imagine. You gave us Jesus, and through Him, we can have eternal life. Then you gave each believer the Holy Spirit that resides in us. Then you went even farther, and you gave us spiritual gifts. You're wonderful beyond anything that we can imagine, Lord. Teach us how to use the gifts that you have given us to bring honor and glory to you. and your church. Give us a humble heart and spirit to follow your will each day. Grow us spiritually. Strengthen us. Lead us and guide us. I pray that you would help us to hear your voice each day through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song.
So we're going to sing about sitting. So you can stand to sing about sitting or sit, however you like to worship. But I invite your spirit to join in with Lazarus' sister Mary as we sit at the feet of Jesus.
Sitting at the feet of Jesus, oh, what words I hear him say. Happy place on earth, so precious. May it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus,
sing this blessing over each other as brothers and sisters. Go in peace and endeavor in whatever God's will has for you this week.